The Atlanta Braves could potentially lose a couple of big pieces from its starting rotation after 2024, but there are a ton of good free agents available next offseason. We'll take a look at that group and the rest of the 2025 free agent class and see who the Braves could be spending big on. We'll talk about that on today's episode of Locked On Braves. So let's get into it.
You are Locked On Braves, your daily Atlanta Braves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Braves, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, where we cover your favorite Atlanta sports teams each and every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on social media at Shortstop Ball. Also, make sure you check out my written work over at BravesToday.com. Make sure you follow the podcast on social media at Locked On_Braves. Send in any questions, comments, or feedback you have for the podcast. Always enjoy hearing from you. And on Friday, we'll have our mailbag episode. I'll send out a tweet, usually sometime after lunch on Friday, asking for questions for our mailbag podcast. Submit your question to that tweet to be answered on Friday's podcast. So be on the lookout for that. If you haven't heard the great news, we are now over 9,000 subscribers on YouTube now. We're officially starting the push towards 10K by opening day. Haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button. You want to help me get there, hit that thumbs up button as well so that others can see the video and hopefully subscribe and help us get to 10K. If you're listening on audio, thank you so much for your support. If you would, please leave me a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, all the places. Definitely help support us here at Locked On Braves. And thank you so much for your support of the show here. Right now, we got Pat Stockton. We got our Guinness, Glenn, Kyle, MCN, Sean Finley, George Guerrero, Blake Newsom in here as well, Taylor Parker, Leland, Chris Hester, Jeffrey Humphreys, Brennan Gandy in here with us. Some new names haven't seen in a while. Leland in here, Dwight Cornell, thank you so much for joining me here live. As Brennan says, 1K away from 10K. We're getting really, really close. Today's episode, we are going to look at the 2025 free agent class. Like I said, it could be an important one for the Atlanta Braves if they're going to be missing some key pieces to their rotation. Obviously, could add those guys back, but we'll see what happens. But I want to go ahead and preview that a little bit before we get into spring training, get into 2024. Go ahead and look ahead to that crop of free agents. Before we do, though, today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Locked On for $20 off your first purchase. So let's get into today's conversation. Like I said, looking at 2025 free agents, it feels odd, and I've honestly held off on this podcast for a while now because there's still some really good free agents left this offseason. You're talking the former NL Cy Young winner from the previous season, Jordan Montgomery, who had a great run in the postseason, Cody Bellinger, who had a bounce back year. All three of those are still available for free agents. Maybe one of them has to take a one-year deal and they're back out here next offseason again. But I did want to go ahead. I think the Braves are done. I don't think they're signing anything major at this point. So I did want to go ahead and look ahead. One thing to keep in mind, a lot of teams are saying that their lack of spending this offseason is due to TV revenue and the uncertainty about that in the future. Hopefully that becomes a lot more clear as the year goes on. And hopefully going into next offseason, we have a much better idea of what the TV landscape looks like for all teams, hopefully, but certainly the ones that right now are struggling with Bally and Diamond and everything that's going on there. We've heard about Amazon potentially, you know, buying them out and picking up the streaming service. We've heard about Rob Manfred apparently developing a new streaming service that I guess somehow is different than MLB TV, but hopefully there is more clarity next off season and maybe we won't see some of these free agents drag out as long as they have. And another thing to keep in mind is that these are all Scott Boras clients that are still dragging out here into spring training now. And lastly, before we get into who is available, I think it's important to talk about what the Braves have to spend. How much are they actually going to have to spend and how much will they spend? Because a big part of this is, assuming the Braves are going to be in the luxury tax again this year, and they most definitely are, that's going to be 2 years in a row 3 years in a row, the taxes on these overages really go up a lot. So that's something to keep in mind. I look at Fangraphs roster resources for payroll calculations, both for current years and they have future years on there as well. Right now, they have the 2025 estimated payroll at $168.5 million, but that is not including any option players, arbitration eligible players, pre-arb players. That's just counting the guaranteed contracts that they have right now. They're already at almost $170 million. They could potentially add $36.75 million if they pick up all the options on Ozuna for $16 million, Travis d'Arnaud for $8 million, Aaron Bummer for $7.25 million, and Tyler Matzik for $5.5 million. So there is the potential to certainly add to that. I don't think they're going to pick all of those up, but it is certainly a possibility. If you don't pick that up, then you got to find a way to fill some of those holes as well next offseason. The only arbitration eligible players that I see right now are Luis Guillorme, Waskari Noah, and Jared Kelnick. I don't think any of them are going to cost you too much. That's probably a combined $5 million with all those players. So if you say they're going to pick up all the options, which again, I don't think they will, you include the arbitration players and, you know, a little bit in there for pre-arb players, you're probably looking at a payroll already over $200 million for the 2025 season. Current 2024 payroll is around $228 million. So, you know, assume things will go up a little bit. Maybe there's another $20 million there to spend next year if you're picking up all those options. That's not a ton of money to play with. And again, the bigger question is, what are the Braves going to do about the luxury tax, which will be at $241 million is the first threshold next year. And like I said, a team that exceeds that 3 years in a row has to pay a 50% surcharge on anything up to $20 million over that first threshold. So essentially anything up to anything between $241 and $261 million, they pay a 50% surcharge on that. So they could potentially, you know, if they go up to that second tier, they would pay a $10 million. They get a $10 million tax bill on that. You go over that into the next threshold, you're paying 62% of anything in that threshold. And then it goes up to 95% if you go into the next threshold. So the taxes really go up that third year in a row. The estimated luxury tax right now for 2025 is $185 million. But again, that's not including options, ARB players, etc. So that number could already be closer to $230 million, which doesn't leave much room for going over the tax if the threshold is $241. Again, that's assuming they don't want to go over the tax. Maybe they just don't care. We're in a new era of Braves baseball where they're spending money. We've never seen them spend before, so maybe they just don't care and they're going to pay those overage charges. Like I said, even if they went up to the second threshold, they just went $20 million over, it'd be a $10 million tax hit. And the way Alex Anthopoulos talks about that is he just adds that to the payroll. So then how high is the payroll? And you got to add a $10 million tax bill to that. Put it in perspective a little bit, the Mets last year had to pay a $102 million tax bill on overages. Yankees paid 32, the Padres 39. That's why they're struggling financially big time right now. The Dodgers 19 million. The Braves only paid a little over 3 million in taxes last year for their overages. Their estimated tax bill right now is 6 million. And again, they're pushing that third threshold. A lot will depend on the options that they either pick up or don't pick up for how much they're actually going to have to spend. If they pick all of them up, it's really going to be hard to see them staying under that luxury tax threshold and being able to sign a big free agent starting pitcher. They don't pick those up, then there is room to go out and get that big pitcher. But like I said, then you have to fill a DH spot. You might have to fill another bullpen spot or two. So, and you got to find a backup catcher if Travis d'Arnaud isn't coming back. So again, you got to kind of weigh that. And obviously we'll see how things play out in 2024. We'll kind of tell us where the Braves are going to do there. But a lot does depend on those option players. I mean, that's over $30 million in options that they have that could make or break just what the Braves can do in free agency. And it is a pretty great free agent class, especially for starting pitchers, potentially. We'll discuss all of that and who's available here next. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams with quick bets, live same-game parlays, exclusive props, and more. You can use their great app or go on over to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to shoot your shot and get started. Right now, if you're into the NBA season, Celtics are the heavy favorites for the NBA Finals. But if you're like me and you're getting geared up for Major League Baseball season, they have those bets over there ready as well. You can bet the over-under on the number of wins for the Braves this year. It's currently set at 100.5. They have beaten that the last 2 years. If you think they're going to do it again, you can smash that over. Acuna and Strider, currently your MVP and Cy Young favorites. The Braves are heavy favorites to win the NL East, and they're the second highest favorite to win the World Series behind the Dodgers. So you want to get in on that action. Again, go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Also, make sure you visit FanDuel.com/PlaySafe for tools and resources to help you stay in control of the way you play. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. I want to remind you that Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube and now on Amazon Fire TV as well. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Find the Locked On Sports Today channel now on Amazon Fire TV, and you can still get it on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe there. You get sports all day long. Tomorrow we'll have our weekly mailbag episode, so be thinking about some questions to submit for that. You never fail. You always send in the best questions, so make sure you submit those. And then on Monday, I'll tell you which Braves prospect has the best shot at winning NL Rookie of the Year. We'll talk about some other favorites to win that award, probably going off of FanDuel's targets that they have right now. So that'll be on Monday. Now let's get into this free agent class for 2025, which I said is a really, really good one. Juan Soto is at the top of that list. He's going to be 26 years old. He is still really, really young. Coming off I don't even want to say down seasons in San Diego. Certainly that second half, once he got traded over there, was not great. Last year, many people called it a down year. He was still a really good player. And again, he's still just 26 years old. He's about to go into Yankee Stadium, and I think he can hit 40 home runs there this year. And if he does that, he is going to get just massive money next offseason. He's already making $23 million in arbitration. He's likely going to get at least $30 million a year, most likely much, much more than that. And he's going to get a very long deal, 10, 12-year deal, something like that. Again, especially with the numbers I think he's going to put up in Yankee Stadium this year, I think Juan Soto is going to get mega, mega deferred money from the Dodgers or something like that. We'll see if the Yankees are able to lock him up and keep him there. But Juan Soto is going to be the big ticket item next offseason. Can't imagine the Braves playing in that arena. Corbin Burnes is the next one on this list. There, in my opinion, are reasons to believe that he is starting to decline from an ace level a little bit. I don't think he's there yet, but you can see stuff in his profile where you can kind of see a decline start to happen for Corbin Burnes. So I would be a little bit leery of that. I'm not saying I wouldn't sign him if the Braves want to go out and give him 30 plus million a year. It's not my money. I think he's going to be really, really good, but he's also a Scott Boras client. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Ken Rosenthal wrote an article in The Athletic about that, why the Braves and Dodgers just don't have many Scott Boras clients. So again, that's one. It's just hard for me to see happening for the Braves. So want to make a correction. Matthew said Juan Soto is making $31 million in arbitration, not 23. I apologize. The site I saw earlier said 23. So thank you for updating me on that. But I don't think Soto, Burnes, either one is going to be a target for the Braves. I think it's going to be out of their what they're willing to spend in free agency, which is again, a conversation that we can have. The Braves just haven't shown a willingness to do that, to spend that much in free agency. The one I would like is Zach Wheeler. And look, there's a lot of free agents that I've really wanted the Braves to go after that I have been very, very wrong on. Two in my career, I guess, covering the Braves, both written and on a podcast, are Michael Brantley and Zach Wheeler. Those are two players that I can remember I was all in on the Braves signing. Not Michael Brantley this past time around that he signed, but Michael Brantley the time before that when, you know, he was still kind of in his prime. I really wanted the Braves to go after Michael Brantley. They did not. I really wanted the Braves to go after Zach Wheeler. They did not, or at least they did not get him. Whether or not they went after him, I'm not sure. Now he's obviously a little bit older in his career, but still dominant, still very durable. Look, if they were willing to go after Aaron Nola, who I think is I think he's a step behind Zach Wheeler. I think he's definitely a tier behind Zach Wheeler is Aaron Nola. And the Braves were willing to spend big money on Nola. I can't imagine you wouldn't also then be willing to spend big money on Zach Wheeler. Sounds like he's trying to work something out with the Phillies. It's very possible he doesn't even make it to free agency, that they work something out and he goes or stays with Philadelphia. But if he does hit free agency, he is a hometown kid. I don't think he's going to take any kind of discount, but Zach Wheeler would probably be my choice of the free agent starting pitchers next year. Again, I think it's more than likely at this point he's probably going to stay in Philadelphia. They're going to pay the money. Look, if you're the Phillies and you already shelled out all that big money for Nola, why would you not also shell that out to keep Zach Wheeler? Whether or not it's good strategy to sign two pitchers who are going into their, you know, early 30s for that much money and that much length that it's going to cost, whether or not that's a good strategy, I don't know. But both of those guys have been very durable. And like I said, if Wheeler is available, he'd be my top target for the Braves. Other free agents who are going to be out there, Pete Alonso, I don't think there's really any fit there for the Braves. Alex Bregman, again, just not really any kind of fit. Paul Goldschmidt doesn't fit. Max Scherzer, I don't think the Braves are going to give him $40 million a year, but you know, could he be the $20 million replacement for Charlie Morton? Possible. Very, very possible. We could see that with Max Scherzer. Shane Bieber, somebody I'm not all that interested in. I definitely think there's a decline coming for Shane Bieber that you can see. But again, at the right price, I wouldn't hate it. But he'll be available. Willie Adames. Willie Adames is one that's very interesting. It's somebody I feel like we've talked about ad nauseum for a while now while we, you know, looked at the possibility of upgrading the shortstop position. I like Willie Adames. I think he is a good player. I think he is an even better clubhouse guy. I think he would immediately fit into this clubhouse. He'd bring that fire and that energy that you want. I'm not saying Arcia doesn't do that. I think he gets along very well with everybody in that clubhouse and keeps everyone loose. I think Willie Adames could bring that, and I think he brings you a little bit more both on the field defensively, and he certainly brings more power at the plate, but it comes at the expense of a low batting average, a 230-ish batting average. But he has 20 to 25 home run pop, and he's a very good defender. Obviously, it depends on the price. He's going to be the only really true shortstop available. We'll talk about Ha-Seong Kim here in a second. But in my mind, Willie Adames is the premier free agent shortstop that's going to be available next offseason that could raise his price up just because the market will be pretty bare of shortstops. But again, depending on how things work out this year with Arcia, Adames could be a target. Another one, and I've seen other people mention this one already in the comment section, is Walker Buehler. And If Buehler comes back, first of all, if he comes back and looks like himself, he's probably going to get a pretty big deal. He's coming off his second Tommy John surgery. I see Mauricio asking about him, if he's fully recovered from Tommy John. It's already been announced that he's going to be slowed to start the season. Dodgers are going to be very careful with him, obviously, as they should. No reason to really rush him. But that is a little concerning that you're going into the year and there's already been, I don't even know if it call it a setback with Walker Buehler, but you know, definitely not off to a great start so far. So obviously depends on how the year plays out, but Walker Buehler, you know, Vandy kid, could be a really solid fit for the Braves as well. That maybe is a little bit cheaper, but again, has ace potential. The one name we haven't mentioned yet is Max Fried. And certainly there is still that possibility. I'm not ready to close that door just yet, but Max Fried, unless the Braves are able to extend him, he's going to be a free agent next offseason. And I would love to keep Max Fried around. Just really hard to see that right now if he does get to free agency. I don't know where he's going to go. I know everybody says the Dodgers, or he's going to go out west. Where are the Dodgers going to fit him in the rotation unless he's replacing Walker Buehler? But, I mean, they got Dustin May coming back. You're going to have Shohei Ohtani in the rotation next year. You already got Bobby Miller, Yamamoto. I mean, they already have a pretty stacked rotation. Doesn't mean they won't just continue to add to it with Fried, but it's hard for me to imagine them getting another pitcher like Max Fried on the deal it's going to take to get him with the arms they already have. And look, Max Fried's better than some of those arms, certainly. It's just hard for me to really see that being a landing spot for him. I could see maybe the Angels, who obviously need pitching help, and it's another LA West Coast team. I think that's, if he's got to go out west, I think that's maybe the more likely destination. Maybe San Francisco, although San Francisco and LA, if you've ever been to the two, they are very, very different. But I just, it's, again, I don't want to shut the door on Max Fried. I would love to have him. I hope he is back with the Braves. But we'll see how that plays out. And it's going to be another option. I mean, look, you're looking at what we know: Corbin Burnes, Zach Wheeler, Max Scherzer, Shane Bieber, Walker Buehler, and Max Fried, that we know, unless there's obviously an extension that happens with any of those players, are going to be available. That is really, really good talent. If there was ever an offseason, and it's going to be a need for the Braves, they're going to lose Max Fried and Charlie Morton. Ever there was a time for the Braves to go all in on a starting pitching free agent, it feels like next year. And especially with the great class that is out there of starting pitchers, it feels like the Braves could go after one. Now, those are the top names. Some others that could be available that makes sense. Ha-Seong Kim, he has a mutual option for $7 million. I got to imagine he declines that. I like Ha-Seong Kim. I think he's a second baseman. He can play a good shortstop. I think he's a second baseman. So, again, if you're getting him for the shortstop position, it makes me a little uncomfortable. But he could potentially be available and would be a nice fit for the Braves. Gerrit Cole has an opt-out. I can't see him picking that up. He's still, if he doesn't opt out, he's going to get $36 million a year for the next 4 years, and he's entering his age 34 season. I can't imagine he's going to get much more than that on the market. Justin Verlander has a vesting option, so he could potentially be available. Brandon Woodruff coming off injury. I mean, the list of starting pitchers that could potentially be available: Charlie Morton, if he wants to come back. Michael Wacha has a player option. Lucas Giolito, who just signed this offseason, has an opt-out. Nick Pivetta, Michael Soroka, threw that one on there for fun. But hey, if he has a good year, he's a free agent. Maybe the Braves want to take another shot on him. You look in the bullpen: Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell, he has a $13 million team option, but the Orioles will be getting Jorge Bautista back, so might not be much need for Kimbrell next year at that price. AJ Minter, you know, on the offensive side, you got Teoscar Hernandez be a free agent again. Anthony Rizzo has a $17 million club option. Josh Bell, Marcelo Zuna, if the Braves don't pick up his option. Gleyber Torres, Justin Turner, if the Braves wanted to replace Ozuna at DH with a veteran. You know, he's coming off a really good year. We'll see what happens with him in Toronto in 2024. Anthony Santander is somebody I really like, because if you were to get Anthony Santander, not only does he just continually put up, you know, big power numbers, he can play some corner outfield, he can play some first base. I think if you're getting him, you're probably getting him to mostly DH, but, you know, he does give you some of that versatility and can play in the field. Christian Walker, a lot of good first basemen available. Old friend Jason Hayward, Alex Verdugo, Brandon Drury for a nice utility bat. Eloy Jimenez has a $16.5 million team option. If that's not picked up, that's a really solid possibility for the DH spot. Max Kepler is somebody that I've loved for years as a left-handed hitter. Obviously, I hope things work out with Kelnick, but if not, Kepler could be a really solid free agent option. Tyler O'Neill, Carlos Santana, another solid, you know, DH option, can back up first base. And then Joey Gallo as another solid, you know, outfield, first base, DH option as well. So there's a lot of really interesting names that are going to be available next offseason. Again, the question for me is how much are the Braves actually going to have to spend and how much are they going to be willing to spend? Are they willing to go into that tax for a third straight year and pay those, you know, surcharges, those increased surcharges? So that's going to be something that's really interesting to watch, but hopefully they're gearing up for it because it is a great free agent class. There's some really good names out there, some really good starting pitchers. So we'll see what they do. But we got a whole season of baseball to get to before that happens. Next, I'll give you some of the news of the day, what's happening at Braves camp. And we are now 42 days away from opening day. We'll discuss all of that here next. You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event, and you don't when you use GameTime. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. They have killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, view from your seat. Do not buy a seat or a ticket to an event unless you know what your view is going to look like. They got that for you right in the app, and their best price guarantee means you will always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Again, all-in prices, total upfront. I'm so glad that they do that. I cannot stand these secondary ticket sites that show you one price, you go to checkout, and all of a sudden the price is just absurd. Game Time gives you everything up front. You know what you're going to be paying. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps, and Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even an hour after, if you're a little bit late, they got you as well. Exclusive flash deals. Love checking those deals right before you go to an event. I used Game Time for all the Braves games I went to last year. Make sure you download the Game Time app, create an account, use code Locked On for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LOCKEDON for $20 off your first purchase. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I want to remind you one more time that Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. And now you can also find it on Amazon Fire TV. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Find the Locked On Sports Today channel now on Amazon Fire TV. Let's get into the news of the day here. Rob Manfred will end his tenure as MLB commissioner in January of 2029. So if you're tired of Rob Manfred as commissioner, still got to wait quite a while before he is out of that seat. Unfortunate news. Look, you know pitching injuries are coming. You kind of hold your breath when you see a tweet that says something about UCL, out for a while, on the IL. And unfortunately, the first one is Orioles starter Kyle Bradish. He will start the year on the IL with a UCL tear. He does plan to just have a PRP shot and hopefully continue to throw through it. A lot of pitchers been trying to do that here lately. Hopefully it works out for the Orioles and Kyle Bradish. We got to address the uniform situation, I guess, because I've had people ask me about it. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know I'm not a uniform guy. I like uniforms. I think they're cool. I see one that looks good. I'll point it out, whatever. I am not a uniform jersey expert. I do not honestly care what they wear. As long as it's comfortable for the players and, you know, doesn't look just awful, I really could care less what the uniforms look like. But everybody is in an uproar about these new Nike uniforms, and it seems like that's what everybody is talking about. So I don't care too much in it. Like I said, as long as the players feel comfortable in it and it's not distracting, which I've seen side-by-side comparisons of some of these jerseys, and I see no difference. Again, maybe that's just my lack of eye for jersey apparel, but I don't get the big deal in the jersey controversy, but thought I'd bring it up because that's what everybody seems to be talking about right now. In Braves camp on Thursday, you had Snitker and AA talking. Snitker said Enoa looked great in his bullpen, so that's good to see. Interested to see what they do with him in spring training, if they stretch him out for a starter, or maybe they ease him back in a bullpen role. AA said they won't announce minor injuries throughout camp, but right now, we don't have any surprises in terms of somebody needing an IL stint or things like that. AA also said speed will be a factor in one of those two open bench spots. So we talked about this the other day. I think you either carry both Guillorme and Fletcher, or you keep Fletcher down and you use either JP Martinez or Forrest Wall. Kind of makes sense, I think, out of the two to let JP Martinez, because I think there's a little bit more upside with him, to send him down to AAA and let him get every day at bats and maybe keep Forrest Wall on the bench as your speed guy. So that could play a factor into who gets that final bench spot. And again, all indications seem to point to it being somebody with speed. It also could be Eli White over Jordan Luplow. I gave Luplow the edge. We're talking about it the other day, but if you did want to go with somebody that just has more speed, Eli White could factor into that. AA said that Jared Kelnick will play every day rather than it be a platoon situation. I'm glad to hear that. It's kind of what I talked about yesterday. I wanted to see them just give him every day at bats, at least to begin. And if he struggles against lefties, you know, you got an opportunity there, you know, get into May, June, where maybe you platoon him a little bit, but give the kid a chance. Let's see what he can do. More talk about that World Series or bust mentality. You love to hear that. And then getting into our countdown to opening day, we are now Jackie Robinson days away from opening day. 42 days until opening day. Obviously, nobody has worn this for the Braves since 1992 when Armando Reynoso wore it. If you remember Armando Reynoso, let me know down in the comments section because props to you. And nobody will obviously wear it again for the Braves or anybody else, except when everybody wears it on Jackie Robinson Day. Steve Avery wore it for a couple of years. Bruce Sutter actually wore it in 1988, the year I was born. So shout out to Bruce Sutter. All right, going to wrap things up here pretty quickly as we're running out of time. But thank you so much for joining the podcast today. All of you live in here. I still see Jeffrey, Blake, Nicholas C., Arginis, Sean Finley in here with me at the end. Thanks so much for hanging around with me, J.H. Decker in here, Doc's Cards. Thanks so much for grinding this one out to the end. If I didn't get to your question or comment, put it in the comment section below. I try to get to every single one of them there. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube if you haven't already. It's the road to 10K by opening day. Hit that like button if you would. Make sure you follow us on social media at shortstopball, at @lockedon_Braves. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Lockdown Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.